In a world of EMS podcasters, EMS Office Hours is the only live podcast bringing you the latest topics and opinions in EMS. Turn down your scanner and turn up your speakers as we join Jim Hoffman and Josh Knapp on their latest EMS podcasting journey.
Welcome to EMS Office Hours. This is Jim Hoffman.
And I'm Josh Knapp.
And today we are here again for another quick session, Josh. And of course, I want to remind the listeners to please go check out the free download for the EMS differential diagnosis that your patient did not read the textbook. You can get that for free at emsseo.com/DX. And of course, there will be a link to that in the notes below. And please go and review and rate the show. It really helps us out. And you can do that very easily at emsseo.com/iTunes. It'll take you right to the iTunes page. You can rate and review it. It takes maybe 2 to 3 minutes. And I will love you forever if you did that.
Really would send you flowers and everything.
I might send you, if I have your address, you know, I'll send you flowers. You know, there's news now of you know, EMTs and medics that are evaluating and assessing patients with potential coronavirus. And not that I'm trying to jump on this bandwagon that every other, you know,
email. It's coronavirus. Now we can, you know, advertise.
You know, I don't want to jump on this bandwagon because every other podcast and EMS blog or whatever is writing something about the coronavirus. But what I thought was interesting about your story, I'll let you tell it real quick, but I just thought it was interesting that your story to me is more of a reality of how EMS is ending up having to deal with this type of thing.
Oh yeah, it's kind of crazy because there's a level of, it's not like the person stepped off a plane from China,
right?
Or for you're there and you know you see them sweating and coughing and you know all the stuff that you would expect from a newspaper article. The real life is you get somebody and they tell you, oh yeah, I just came from China. What are you supposed to say to that? Right. Well, you ask some questions. You know, what time was your flight? How long were you there? When did you leave? When did you return? Now the patient is like saying, oh, I don't have any of my documentation. I have no information. I don't carry it around with me. I went and it seems totally, totally out of place. Like, you didn't leave the block, my friend, much less the
and
country.
It's almost as if they think saying it because they see it on TV or they're looking at the newspapers that it's a way for them to leapfrog over whatever they think they have to jump over to get seen by you or a hospital.
And it actually, the truth of the matter is it delayed this patient's chance to see a doctor by hours. Mm. Not by even minutes, you know, by hours, because so many other steps had to be put in place. So many other resources had to be dedicated to it. And then, you know, on the other hand, it's like, I don't know where you keep your isolation gear on the ambulance, but, you know, we keep it in because it's almost never.
Yeah, buried access. Under KED and, you know.
Yeah, I mean, essentially, you know, it's hidden in a corner. The bag is chewed up. It's been, you know, it's.
It's sad that you say that.
Somebody took a mask out of it or something like that because they were desperate for one at one time. I mean, it's essentially, you know, it's essentially something that's never used. So you have the patient in the ambulance. Now you have to don this equipment. And it's like, I don't even have the equipment. You know, it's like I have to move the patient in order to get to it or reach over the patient, get really, really close in unprotected gear to get the protective gear. It's a little bit lunacy, the way that's done. And then that's like, there's no set real hard and fast protocol of how to approach this. You know, you've made patient contact. Are you supposed to make patient contact all gowned up?
Right.
You know, and
you don't know, because like you said, you're approaching somebody who looks like they're, you know.
In my case, it's going to be very easy to 2020 quarterback this, right? Yeah. You know, to armchair quarterback this.
Sure.
There's because the guy was, appeared to be a homeless guy. You know, he had some bags from another hospital. He had some recent surgery that appears, you know, the bandages appear fresh. And he's telling you this cock and bull story with a varied timeline and a completely bullshit timeline, as a matter of fact, except for a couple of little facts that he was lucky to get correct, like the amount of time it takes to fly over.
Right.
He knew exactly, right. You know.
Just enough from the news to.
Just enough, right. So it's like, you know, even if it wasn't enough, he just says, I was there. What are you supposed to do now? What do you do? Just say bullshit and bring them into, put them in the back of the bus, ride in the back of the bus with them. Okay. And bring them into the ED as if nothing happened. Now you're the charge nurse. Or you're the triage nurse and you get that story. What are you going to do? Because right, now you see this
right, person. Now another can of worms opened up.
And we've talked about this before, the difference of what we see of the patient in the field and what the triage nurse sees. How many times have you had a tight asthmatic that was responsive to a little bit of albuterol, and all of a sudden they're not sweating, their sats aren't in the 80s, they're pinked up, they're looking at you, they're lucid, they're not AMS anymore, and the nurse goes, well, what did you do? Right. You know. And you're like, well, they were about to die before I got to them.
Right.
Well, they look okay. They can go into the waiting room, you know? And so there's this whole disconnect that happens between what we see in the field and what they see here. Right. You know, they see on our stretcher a guy who's covered with a sheet, looks fairly presentable, is there, and he's saying he got off a flight to China. Meanwhile, we're seeing a guy who's sitting in a pile of garbage, picking through it, saying that he had a flight to China.
Yeah.
I mean, but so, and where I'm getting with that is they have to react on what they see. They see something even more legitimate than what we see. Now we have not taken any precautions because we just brought him in. Now what happens to us? So the backstory of that is the backfill to that is, of course, we have to take all the freaking precautions. We have to pull out the isolation. We have to call supervision. We have to get everybody involved for right. bullshit.
So there's all these resources now being used, you know, for the just in case, cover your ass type scenario.
And, you know, and I was half expecting, you know, to be, you know, and what happens often, especially in EMS, as we eat our young, people put down, when you take those precautions, you know, in and you take those. I remember one time somebody said, oh, you're wearing gloves. You know, it was, you know, when I was first starting out, gloves were a relatively newer thing. I mean, you know, we all had them, but we didn't wear them on every single job. And the old timers right. were saying, as long as you wash your hands, you're fine. What's your problem? And they would literally start IVs without gloves and stuff yeah. like that.
Oh, yeah.
And so, you know, you have that criticism. Oh, you went and you put on your equipment. Oh, you know, like, can't you tell the difference or whatnot? And so I was fully expecting to have some shit come down the line. And I was surprised that my supervisor actually called me and said, you did the 100% right thing. You made sure the crew was safe. You were really good. We're really happy with what you did. And I said, well, I was really on the fence because it was, you know, we were burning up resources. And I just thought it was nonsense. But, you know, you can't take a chance. And that's the real tragedy of this. I mean, the real tragedy of this virus are the people who died, the amount it spread. I mean, but it seems to be something that spreads very easily, but is more less fatal in its. But still, you know, you heard about the you know, China has made this entire province of. And in the province, they created a hospital, and the guy who ran the hospital died of coronavirus.
Yeah.
So that's scary in and of itself.
That's a scary thing. Yeah. Well, the thing is with this patient though, Josh, you know, and it's not even with this particular thing, it's the discussion of patients that, you know, are a little nutty. Okay. Mm-hmm. That are looking to, you know, get into the hospital and figure a way, because they've been through the system a few times, that they don't want to get stuck in triage. So they try to get creative in the way that they can get put into a bed, you know? So they say crazy shit like this. I mean, I remember back in the day when we had the whole, you know, the powder that they were fucking popping up all over the place. You know, the
anthrax scares?
The anthrax scares, right. You know, anyone that had a fucking envelope with powder in it, you know, caused a cluster on the scene.
Right.
You know, and you had people that would say they had they found powder on some envelope, and you're like, well, who the fuck are you that you would have powder on an envelope? Who wants to kill you, and they're going to go by it by putting anthrax on it? You know, it's not like you're some senator or news reporter or some celebrity or something like that. You're just Joe Schmo who runs a fruit stand, you know, right. What I mean? Or you're some guy who's a little nutty, or maybe you're homeless, and you think, but you said, you know, you touched something that looked like that, and now again, that puts the field provider in the position of, okay, now what the fuck do I do? Mm-hmm. Do I start activating all these resources for this when I know in my heart of hearts it's nonsense? You know, and it goes with anything else, right? We had talked before the show about how patients that think they're going to jump stuff because they say they can't breathe, or they say that they are having chest pain, and then they make you go through all these different steps, you know, for a chest pain call, when you know they're not really having genuine chest pain. They think they're going to be able to get the ambulance there faster. They're going to be able to get to a room. They're not going to be put into triage. Mm-hmm. And that's what ends up happening. And the nurses know it too, because when I get, you know, you get to the hospital and you say, this is what I have, and you're complaining, and right away you can see in the tip of their tongue, they're getting ready to say, put him in triage. And then you say, he's saying he has chest pain. And then they look at you like, Jesus, now I got to fucking put this guy back here and work him up. You know,
I don't know if you've noticed the protocol has changed a bit, that you don't even have to come in with a complaint of chest pain. You're going to get an EKG. You're going to get a cardiac rule out.
It could be abdominal pain. It could be indigestion. And they're going to fucking do a cardiac rule out on it.
Right.
You know, right.
They found that it's easier.
And a lot of us in the field a lot of us did it anyway.
Right.
Especially if you taking it from a clinical standpoint of, okay, this guy's complaining of indigestion or abdominal pain. There's nothing really guiding me that why he'd be having abdominal pain, but he has these other risk factors. Mm-hmm. I'm going to do a cardiac roulette on this fucking guy. You know what I mean? I'm going to ask more pertinent questions to find out maybe it is cardiac related. I'm going to, you know what I'm saying? I'm going to do the 12 lead. I'm going to do all these different things because I'm suspecting maybe that's the case. And if you're a good provider, that's what you're going to do, right? You're going to have that education and that clinical sort of, you know, alarms going off that, you know, that all that's.
And we're talking about if you're a clinical provider and you're faced with somebody who has some obvious ailments.
Right.
You know, somebody sure. Walks in and just looks like they could go out and run, you know, the quarter mile or a marathon or whatever. And they're saying, I don't feel well. I feel, you know, blah, blah, blah. And they have some specific things. You know, you're going to rule out a lot of stuff from the get-go and not do things like a 12 lead or something like that, because they really don't, you know, every other thing is going on and they're not complaining about that.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, there's you can't do it for everybody. How do I say this without sounding bad? I mean, it's like, you know, you got to sort of have an efficiency about you. And if the guy's complaining of toe pain, you know, you're not going to do an entire stroke evaluation on them.
Yeah. Right.
It's just not appropriate to do on everybody.
And honestly, this goes back to the initial start of the show, right? About being new.
Actually, let me say something about that, because when you do that to everybody, it shows that you're not using any of your clinical skills to determine what's going on.
Yeah.
You're just throwing as much crap at it as possible in the hopes that something will show up instead of your focus physical exam.
AKA zebra hunting.
Okay.
You know.
Yep.
But that's the thing, right? It goes back to what we talked about earlier on in this episode, when you talk about, people that will have to go through the entire thing. They're not recognizing what's really happening with the patient. And, you know, that clinical knowledge isn't there. You know, they're not at the top yet. They're trying to get, you know, rush to the top without taking the stairs and learning everything they have to learn on the way there.
Mm-hmm.
Listen, Josh, I think that kind of ties it in together a little bit. So I think we'll end it there. But I do think the whole thing with this virus and stuff, I think that your story, I'm sure, has already happened to other people in other parts of, you know, the city or other parts of the country, where other providers are also having people who say stupid shit like that, and they're stuck now with this situation where they have to, you know, activate resources and, you know, for safety, for everything else, and also, you know, be judged by their coworkers and their peers that they overreacted.
Right. Right,
and it kind of sucks. It puts us in a bad position.
God forbid,
something happens where the news gets a hold of it, and we have a report of a patient who said they were in China and they have flu-like symptoms. What did you do? And now they're on top of the hospital and stuff. And if you didn't do anything, then it looks like no one's doing their freaking job. You know,
I have to tell you, the way you said it, you're stuck between a rock and a hard place.
Yes.
Because you absolutely have to follow the protocol in this. This thing is real. It's dangerous. It's not to be trifled with. Yes, 99 times out of 100, you're absolutely going to be safe, and there's not going to be any of that stuff, especially when every one of your spidey alarms are going off.
Right.
But at the same time, You gotta back up, and this is when protocol saves you, and follow the protocol.
You gotta think about too, Josh, that the patients that, you know, how many patients do you get that don't tell you everything? So you get a patient that's got flu-like symptoms, and you ask them, have you been out of the country? Have you been to China? No. And then they tell you later on, oh, I was on a cruise ship, or, you know, I did this. And
that's a really excellent point too, because, you know, and the truth of the matter is, so let's reverse that whole thing a little bit, Jim. What's the real truth? The truth is, somebody who's been to one of these countries doesn't want to be singled out,
exactly.
Doesn't want to be isolated, doesn't want to be quarantined. No, I'm fine.
Right.
And absolutely tell you that there's nothing wrong. That's why, you know, if you notice nowadays, everybody that's walking in an emergency room, providers and stuff like that, and it's going to become the new norm, I swear. Everybody's wearing masks.
Yeah,
everybody's
annoying.
Wearing masks.
It's annoying.
You know, but it's annoying, but it's uncomfortable. But the truth is, it's not stupid, because you're in a crowded place with a ton of sick people. It could be the flu. It could be anything. Forget about, you know, forget about the zebra of coronavirus. Could be the flu. It could be antibiotic resistant, pneumonia.
Yeah, of course. And that's the thing. And you know, while it stinks that we're kind of going down that path of wearing masks when walking to ERs and stuff like that, and, you know,
Or patients' houses.
And, you know, it's going to get to that point, because this is how, first of all, it's how Planet of the Apes starts. Okay. That's number one. I'm going to tell you, Josh, it's going to be either Planet of the Apes or some kind of zombie apocalypse if we're not careful. But the way I look at it right now, Planet of the Apes, I'll go ahead. I'll be a slave to an ape. I'll do what they tell me to do. I don't care. I'll go ahead and do that. You know, But the zombie stuff is a little hard because if it's like Walking Dead zombies, I got a little bit of a shot to stay alive a little while. But you're talking about like World War Z zombies or
Iron Man. Oh, yeah, that's tough.
I'm done.
Yep.
I'm done. Yeah. Those fucking things move too fast.
This fat old guy is not going to keep up.
Right? I'm not going to fucking do it. Yeah, yeah, I haven't ran fast.
Right.
In quite a while.
Well, just keep this in mind, Jim. You don't have to be faster than the zombies. You just have to be faster than the guy next to you.
I know. That's true. That's true. But those zombies are crazy. So, like I said, Walking Dead zombies, I can probably, last a little while. But
here we are, EMS office hours, talking about zombies and coronavirus. Is there a connection?
Who the fuck knows? Even if it's coronavirus, it could be some shit.
Is there a connection?
Could be some biological shit that got out that they're saying is
people. You heard it here first. You heard it here first.
That's right. That's right.
We're the first to talk about the connection between zombies and coronavirus, and you think it's a joke now.
Or apes and coronavirus. So if you go to the fucking zoo and those gorillas are looking a little smarter than usual, you know why. All right?
Yeah, they're watching you.
Those fucking chimpanzees are giving you like a sideways glance.
They're watching you.
They're just waiting. All right, Josh, let's end it there, man. I really appreciate you joining me. As always, a good talk. Hopefully people found this a little bit entertaining. And it's always great to tell stories about calls. I think people really can connect with that stuff. And that's it. Again, go check out the differential diagnosis guide. You can go to emsseo.com/DX for that. And until next time, that's it. Josh, anything else you want to mention before we head out?
I do not. I think everything stays safe out there, man.
Alrighty. All right, guys. As always, I'm Jim Hoffman.
And I'm Josh Knapp.
Stay safe.